Here we go. It's really loud. I'm sorry. Oh my god.
Ugh, it's broken glass. Stone Cold Steve Austin in your face. Get you woke up.
Oh my god, it's so loud. I apologize.
Don't apologize. Just tell them they deserve it.
I forgot to turn it down. Welcome to another episode of Best of Five. My ears hurt. Ah,
what's up, everybody?
We're back. Baby John is done chasing his cats. I don't even have a cat to chase.
Last week.
Yeah, you did. You were chasing cats. Steve, Ace King, Offsuit Jerk, resubscribing to his own show. Thank you, Steve. I'm a clap for you. You know what? Yeah, please wear a mask in public. I don't know if you guys saw, but Philadelphia has canceled all big events until February, with one exception. Football.
I don't think that's the only exception. I think that they have carve outs for other things as well. That's just the one exception that a lot of people are going to jump on.
Well, the headline of this article that somebody posted on Facebook that's not from a very well-known piece of media said that. So I'm going to parrot it because that's what we do nowadays. Speaking of doing good things, not that I was doing a good thing, but people doing good things. Turbo Sean, thank you for the resub 4 months in a row. Big thanks.
Thank you.
Big thanks, friend. All right, tonight on the show, more cancellations, some shenanigans. 00 Tinja is going to subscribe. Thank you, Tinja, for the big 5 months resub, and we have a hype scam train, whatever you want to call it. We're going to have that, and we also have a surprise later on in the show that I'm happy about.
What is it?
It's a surprise. What the fuck do you think surprise means?
I want the surprise.
Do you want the surprise now?
I want you to wait with me.
What?
I don't know what the surprise is. You're the master of your fate, of our fate, with the surprise. Tell us when.
I'm just happy because I got permission to do something that I wanted to do, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, I want to do this on the show. And yeah, and then we even have a little bit of extra with that. But yes.
Elon learned how to tie his shoes. Double knot.
Yeah. I left my house for the first time since June 2nd today. That was fun.
Wow.
You know, I was going to say when I came on, but I was having mic troubles or whatever, and I don't think you heard me, but I wanted to comment on your very luscious beard, especially if you kind of turn profile.
You mean the bullshit that's on my face? I fucking hate it.
Can I see the bullshit? Can I see a profile of the bullshit on your face, please? Can the people see it? Turn sideways so we can appreciate.
It's just a neck beard. It's fucking awful.
No, but there's like some substance to it there. Like you can get a handful of that shit.
Yeah, it's like
it's got character.
You need it to come up a little bit. Just
I know,
a little bit.
I don't. I have nothing here. That's the so if I like shave all of the neck stuff and leave the strap, as it were, I look exactly like Shakespeare.
Or a Kuma.
Look exactly like Shakespeare.
That's a good option to have. Have I talked about my alopecia on here?
No.
Yeah, I think you have.
Oh, wait, have you? I don't know. Well, you can talk about it again.
I'll say it again. Because, you know, anything beyond a month ago feels like 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, because of my alopecia, obviously I can't grow anything up here. But it also screws, like, with this little patch of hair right here. So I can't grow anything right here. So my options are either to go full shave with the beard or, you know, hope or try and go for some semblance of a goatee. Because if I try and just even it out, it ends up like a Hitler stash.
Oh,
and not even Michael Jordan can pull that off. So, no, just you not going to happen.
Yeah.
As far as facial hair,
I would deserve it. If that's the look I went for, I would totally deserve it.
Dude, but you'd go down as kind of a legend for just fucking doing it. Like, everyone would be like, Ace, it's good he got canceled. It was that guy was a dick, but he fucking did it. Can you believe that shit? That was ballsy.
That would not be a good way to go.
That'd be exact. That's how I would remember you. Also, as far as the facial hair thing goes.
We've been doing this show how long? And the one thing you'd remember about me is my mustache.
I didn't say the one thing. I said, but that would be
you
an epic way to go out.
That's what you remember me by. That's what you said.
I'd remember you for so many things. Your schedules, your lack of the understanding of the color green when you put it in fonts, your demeanor. You're always so, like, your self-deprecation, which I don't like, but I think we're getting over. There's a lot of really redeeming things about you. Did I say your schedules? Anyways, with the facial hair thing, really quick, to everybody. I can't get it all to, like, connect in certain places and whatnot, and it's patchy a little bit. And I think I've said this on the show, too, probably in that same episode. But Keanu Reeves does the same shit, and he – Keanu Reeves is the man, you know? So I'm not too worried about it. I think he just let it, you know, do your thing, and it's all good. Whatever your face gives you. So yeah. Yours is beautiful, Alon.
No, so
– he is breathtaking, though, so that kind of – yeah, he can get away with that.
Keanu Reeves is, yes. But this might be going a little too deep into my psyche, but I see a change in hair as like a start or end of a chapter in life. So, like, for example, anytime I'm like going through depression, like a heavy depression or anything like that, like I usually just don't shave or do anything. And then when I'm finally over it is when I shave, right? So this is like this is the coronavirus facial hair. So as soon as this is all over and I've committed to this, whether this be a year or five, I'm not gonna shave until coronavirus is over.
Well, what's your line for it being over? Because the NBA is about to start playing again on the 30th. Is that when it's over?
Until I can
the Spock quadruple, like,
we're crossing everything.
Live long and prosper.
Because I am an MLS fan as well. So, yeah, you international people can laugh at me because I watch MLS. But I've already had to see two teams leave the MLS back tournament because of players getting infected with COVID. Uh-huh. And the one player on the team that my team played to open the tournament was held out due to a positive COVID test. So now I'm crossing my fingers that it's not spreading. You know, and this is something I was going to get into later when we talk about event cancellations, but I feel like with this bubble concept that you see in MLS, you're going to see in the NBA and the NHL when they come back later this month, that's going to go a long way into determining what if events can come back and in what form. Because if they can pull this off, then yeah, there's some sort of pattern for other events to follow to say, hey, if you want to have people come in from all over the country, here's how you do it. But if it doesn't work, then you can pretty much kiss major sporting events goodbye for a significant amount of time, which means, you know, events like tournaments definitely not going to come back for a while. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah, and I just want to add, too. I think I've told you guys, at least I told Steve, because, John, you were chasing cats last week. Formula One came back. I think their first race was last weekend. They had their second race this weekend. I think they're doing everything right. They're very strict with who goes in and out of the pit garages. They lowered the crew numbers, and everybody that's in the pit area or the paddock or the stands, speaking of which, there's only like one person in the stands. It's one of the field correspondents who has a spyglass that he looks at the garages from far away to see what's happening. And if you're in the area, you have to either be wearing your helmet or you have to wear a mask. Those are your options. And that's it.
Well, to be fair, their first two races were both at the same,
yes,
in the same country.
Yeah, it was in Austria, the Red Bull Ring.
And they're going to Hungary.
Yeah, and both races were pretty solid, might I add. Yeah, they are going to Hungary this weekend. I'm excited. I've been getting into Formula One, man. This has been cool.
I think it's cool to have these little kind of bubbles where there's a big group of people, and it's the same people, more or less. I'm assuming this is similar to how they're doing it with the NBA and such, but with all these sporting teams coming together, because you have this sort of sample size and you can kind of see, you know, what happens here. And I'm sure that there's a little bit of information we might be able to take away from something like that. And it's just interesting to see if it spreads this way. And so I'm kind of intrigued in that particular vein as well. as you know, we see these sporting events start to like kind of do this new COVID dance.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see how long it lasts. It's gonna one person's gonna fuck it up for everybody, right? That's kind of been the story of this whole COVID experience in the United States. Except instead of one person, it's
Arizona. Go on, say it. I know you want to say it.
Texas. Well, actually, for the first time, Texas is not ahead. It's not always bigger in Texas. Florida has surged ahead.
I congratulated my Florida friends when they passed us because I'm in Arizona and we had the title for a while. So it's like, good job. You guys are number one. Thanks.
But yeah, you know. Anyway, and that's what I mean. I think so to go back to your question for forever ago, Steve, of when it's over and when I'm going to shave, it's I think when I feel safe enough that I can go outside without a mask and not worry about catching this fucking thing. And I have a feeling that's going to be like January of 2022. That's my guess.
Well, it's going to be a while.
My initial guess was going to be October of this year. And boy, was I wrong. Anyway.
All you got to do is shoot light inside of you.
And drink Clorox or bleach or whatever. Okay. Anyway. Let's get into the shit for which this show is known for. Because I'm pretty sure we just lost half of our viewers because we started talking about Formula One. A lot has happened. We covered all the terrible shit. A little bit more of that terrible shit came out. I think I've said all I wanted to say. Even more than I wanted to say, to be completely honest about everything. Steve, did you want to add anything? And John, you weren't here, so if you wanted to add anything about all the happenings of last week and this week.
There was one thing I wanted to kind of mention with that. Nakiel was accused of assault by a former partner earlier or late last week, just before. It was one of the ones that we did not get to talk about because there is just so many issues that came out over the past week. But today, Panda Global came out with a statement, and let me see if I can find it. There we go. They said, quote, over the past week, we became aware of allegations surrounding Derek Brusca's conduct in a prior relationship. At that time, we encouraged Derek to reach out and discuss the matter with his former partner. Since then, Derek has apologized for his conduct, and we've worked with his former partner to reach a resolution that promotes greater responsibility and accountability. To help foster healing and growth from both parties, we have offered to provide individual therapy for his former partner, and additionally, we are providing Derek with therapy. We hope that both parties can begin the process of healing, which we will continue to support as needed. End quote. I was just really interested in that sort of approach, because with most of these accusations coming out, the first thought has been to, you know, players getting dropped, players getting banned.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is a better approach? Because I kind of see pros and cons both ways.
Well, I think it's actually really good as far as I can see, and I haven't sat and like dived into it yet, but I read it this morning again, and I was thinking about it. I was impressed because I figured anytime one of these statements comes out, it's just to say that we've dropped the player, you know, because that's what most of them seem to have been. And that's the super trend right now. This is either, I mean, this makes everybody kind of happy that's involved, and it depends on the instance and what's going on. If I don't know the particulars in Nakiel's particular case, but I think that this is a good move. I think out of it, like, these two people get counseling, and everyone could use some counseling for sure. So they're getting counseling paid for apparently by Panda Global. Like, that's great. Panda Global also went through, or was under kind of a similar spotlight before everybody else was doing it, when they dealt with the whole infiltration situation, and they were very thorough in their approach to that. That was a pretty drawn out process. So they've shown that they, you know, really analyze things like this in the past. And I take it, you know, I tip the hat to that because it's a lot harder, I think. And again, depends on the situation. But in this case, it sounds like it was the right call. I'm interested to hear, though, Steve, what you think are the negatives.
Well, I personally generally like this approach. I am a fan of more rehabilitative actions as opposed to punitive in most cases. My only fear in a situation like this is that when is the possibility, and I'm not saying that it's what happened here, the possibility that it puts pressure on the other partner to agree to counseling or something like that. You know, it puts maybe the partner is in the spot where they just want to be done with them. They just want to say their piece and be done. And by bringing this up, it possibly puts them in a position where now there's public pressure on them to accept counseling so that they can both grow and move on and all that other stuff. I do think in general, though, this is a good response. I would like to see, you know, I don't know. I'm getting kind of tongue-tied here. I apologize for that.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying there. But that would be uncomfortable potentially, but to me, and I think you're on the same level too. It's like, yes, that's there. But to me, that's not enough weight on that side of the scale to say it's not worth tackling it this way. If you are PG, because I mean, they only have so many options and this is responsible. This makes, I think, the most people happy and leaves the most people in a potentially better spot. And even if you don't want counseling, I get that. That could be a thing, but it still would probably be helpful too. So it's like maybe a double-edged sword or the opposite of which, but I think it's ultimately good.
I do feel like there, in some cases, I think there should maybe also be a punitive aspect to things as well to show that there are consequences. It's tough to have that opinion in this case where it's based on a past decision. Past incident, you know, but
yeah. I don't even know the details of that, so I don't have right. much to say.
The fear is that maybe they don't take counseling seriously. They think, okay, you know, I'm, and again, this isn't specifically about Nakiel in this case. I'm not saying he would necessarily do this, but there's that fear that they'll just, you know, do their thing. They'll treat it like sensitivity training at a workplace or something like that, something to just get through and then be done and get back to their regular life without growing or without changing any aspect of their behavior. I do feel that I would like to see more of this sort of thing, but I think it should be on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and look, I read Nakiel's response. I didn't read the allegation because I don't follow the person, and I think it might have been deleted. I tried to look for it, and I couldn't find it. And again, this is just from face value. I don't know Nakiel. I don't know his ex. I don't know Panda Global. I don't know anything. This is just purely from the outside in. Sounded like somebody knocked on my door. But it sounded like he had come to Nakiel had come to terms with the person that he was at the time, was genuinely like regretting it, and wanted to do something to be better in the future, right? Which is at this point all we can do, right? Like, well, we can't take a time machine to go back in time and beat up old Nakiel, so. With that context, the decision by Panda Global to give Nakiel and his former partner help to get through this and become better people, or figure out what caused that so that it doesn't happen again, is, I think, a very wise decision, right? And much like John said, Panda Global is super down to just buckle down and like really think about what the fuck they're doing. And really think about like how they handle the situations instead of just following suit with everybody else. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. I don't mean following everybody else as a bad thing. What I mean is we're getting into this point where one thing happens, right? And a similar thing in a completely different situation happens, and we're just painting it with a broad stroke. I think that's wrong. But at the same time, again, the situation is just shitty overall. So, like, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to do. I think this is a great solution. I don't know if it's a solution that would work for everybody, much like what Steve was saying.
And it's not going to work for every team because, especially in the U.S., therapy is expensive as hell.
Yep.
If you're a team that has a lot of income coming in, maybe you can afford that. If you're like a mid-range or a smaller team where you've only got a couple players and you're barely able to afford to send them to events, I don't see how you can have the budget for that. So it's going to be it's one of those things that if it's possible to do it, yes, but it's, you know, the reality is it's not going to be possible in every single instance of this.
Yep.
I think this makes PG stand out. I think that's what you were getting at, Elon, is that they are in a string of very similar events, and then they went a different direction. And so far, it looks like an intriguing direction. We haven't really hammered down whether it's the right one or not. I'm feeling like it probably is, but we'll see. But if that is the case, I feel like the CEO, Alan Bunny, I think his name is, the doctor.
Yeah, we've had him on the show before.
A reputation. And that's going to be a really good look for PG. They're going to get a little more, I would say, like, you know, prestige in the eyes of the community, if this is right. So, that'll be interesting because that might level them up too as a sponsor. And, yeah.
Yep. I'm a big fan of treating this from like a mental health point of view. And again, like that's not going to work for everybody. We don't know how this is going to work for Nakio and his, former partner. You know, we'll see what happens. And nor is it our business to know how it ends up, to be completely honest. if I'm going to be completely honest. At least that's how I think. But again, anything to make our community a little bit better so that everybody feels more comfortable, I think is a good thing. So, anything else we can say on Panda Global and the Nakiel stuff?
No, but I know Ilse David's in the chat, and I have a question to ask him once we're done with this topic.
Okay, well, you can ask him your question. And he also came in with a hunk, which made me think about Untitled Goose Game, which I'm having a blast with. Anyway, completely unrelated, but go on, ask your question.
It's fun. Earlier today, David put up a thread on Twitter, it became his hot takes thread, and I found one particular hot take fairly intriguing, saying E Honda is a better version of M Bison in almost every single way, except for that Bison has a 3-frame button, and that single thing ends up making Bison stronger than Honda overall. And then he says, change my mind. But so I guess the first place that my mind goes is Bison has that that EX stomp. It's pretty damn good, and I feel like his pressure up close is pretty damn good. So I would wonder what you would say to those things. Oh, we could get into V-triggers too.
But yeah, I almost want to ask, if we're going to go down this route, David, if you're up for joining the call, I can send you information so you can tell John what for.
I don't think he will because he's got his own show.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to give all the goods away. He's got to save something for tonight.
Yeah.
EX Blood is better than Stomp. I guess I don't. Why is EX Butt better than EX Stomp? Like, I mean, I guess I haven't seen as many examples because Honda hasn't been around for as long. But man, EX Stomp is that thing that you get destroyed by it, and then you know to try to block it. And then every so often you feel like maybe I'm in the perfect situation. I should be able to beat this move with something when I'm this prepared for it. And then you try and you die in a fiery death every single time. And it's always been that way since the beginning. It's one of the best moves like it. So for Butt to beat it, you'd have to have a pretty strong case. But David's a lawyer. No, he's not a court. I don't know the specifics, but anyways, we can keep going because this is sort of a side thing because we have to wait for and if David, you know, responds in the chat. But I just wanted to put that out there. And
Yeah, so he says, EX Butt is a half-screen floor-to-ceiling anti-air or with punish attack that's +5 on block and in range for EX command grab after.
Mm. Is it as invincible as Stomp is? I don't doubt that it's a good move.
It's 8 frames and throw anvil.
I'm not necessarily doubting all this. I mean, I sort of doubt it because Bison's been on top for so long and Honda's been, like, secret pretty good above mid-tier, I think, but I don't know that he's competition for Bison. And I guess Dave's not saying that directly, but this felt also that with the change of my mind bit, like, maybe he wanted to have a little bit of a back and forth. But David always has some interesting stuff to say, so.
Word. Maybe, so in the near future, we can book Ultra David so that we can then have a debate team style discussion over who is better. And then we can once and for all decide that for everybody. no, but this is cool. No, I'm definitely down for some Theory Fighter. I haven't done that in a long time, so I'm trying to wrap my brain around everything you guys were saying because I haven't played Street Fighter in a long time. But either way.
Well, tomorrow we're recording the first half of our podcast, our special podcast where we've ordered the entire tier list of Season 5 of Street Fighter 5. This is my plug for it. But tomorrow we're going through our top 20, or I guess the bottom 20 characters, where 4 of us on the Event Hubs crew have just made our own tier lists and then averaged all the characters, and we're going to discuss it. But knowing stuff like this is kind of nice or something like that.
Cool. Yeah, so we'll have Ultra David on soon, and he'll be able to educate us on Honda. Because I played as Honda when the Altamore patch was out, and our match was great, and I'm still kind of salty that I got beat up as bad as I did.
Dude, Honda is like apparently so long ago. A brain dead. Yeah, it does, right? All the time. We've been in our entire world's just been in like a plank for this last three or 4 months where time's just slow as hell.
Yeah, the one thing about Honda that pissed me off about the match that Ultra David and I played, and granted this was a while ago, I was playing Gil, and I had the parry. So in my brain, I'm like, hey, every time he does the butt stomp or the butt slam, parry the second hit on the way down. It doesn't happen every time. I don't know why. It got so annoying.
You were just mistiming parry?
I think I was either mistiming it. Maybe I was mistiming where I was still hitting it on the block stun, or I was just fucking it up, or it doesn't work. Who knows? There are setups to make it a true block string. There you go. Or a 1-frame gap. Yeah. Well, either way. I still vividly remember that.
The pros show off what's legitimately good now in Season 5, you know, when people come together and, like, maybe Honda rises up as a character that people can legitimately use in tournament and whatnot. And I'm excited to see this because Season 5 remains so mysterious, you know, in certain ways because we don't have that piece of the pie.
Well, the other thing, too, is we're getting more Street Fighter 5 stuff. So who knows what's going to happen if we come back and there's a whole nother season happening. Yeah, also, I like level 100 Charizard's comment. I was parrying the wrong cheek. That makes a lot of sense.
Cute.
All right, so...
Don't hit the cheek.
Yeah, so we've talked about Street Fighter V. We talked about the world of cancellations that are happening. So let's start talking about event cancellations. A couple of events were announced canceled. First was Treta. Treta. It's been a while since I've spoken Portuguese, but I think Treta is the best way to say it. It's the tournament over in Brazil. I am pulling up the tweet now just so I can get the quote. And the translated version of it, and I'm translating it from the tweet, which is in Portuguese, is thinking about the security of those and with the sadness. Thinking about the security of everybody, it is with sadness that we're announcing that Treta 2020 is officially canceled. Now the most important thing during these turbulent times... this is not the most important thing during these turbulent times. A big party of 10 years of tournament will be realized in 2021, and we count on your presence then. I got that as close to English while trying to look at it for the first time and translating it on the fly. Hooray for speaking Portuguese. So there's Treta got canceled, very sad, and I know the situation in Brazil is fucking awful because, much like in the U.S., the government over there is fucking useless. And to the point where I think I saw that the Brazilian president is now COVID positive. And that guy is not...
Yes.
He does not have a great immune system since he got stabbed during his election campaign. Anyway. Next. Texas Showdown announced that they're canceling. I actually got a statement from Javi directly to us. So... Texas Showdown this year is going to be canceled. He's looking forward to putting the event on in 2021. I looked at the website, and unfortunately, I didn't see. There was a section about supporting us, but they didn't have anything, so I asked him about that.
Yeah.
And he said, and I quote, "Details are coming in a few weeks about ways to support. Only thing I'd say is just to wear a mask and stay safe. I appreciate the support, and the FGC will be back, hopefully sooner rather than later." And then he wished us all well here on the show. So big thanks to Javi for the comment, and I very much admire his optimism and his positivity. I think that's a little something that we all need right now.
Yeah, it's... It, you know, there's this hope that, and I'll get into it later, but once we get on to the rest of this.
Yeah. This wasn't necessarily a cancellation, but KIT Andy.
Andy.
Ian Davis.
KIT Andy.
I don't know. I can't see. Ian Davis from KIT posted something on Twitter, and I tried to reach out for a comment, but I couldn't find a way of getting a hold of him. He tweeted, I quote, "We made the decision of homeschooling our kids this semester due to the pandemic. It will be an adjustment for us, so other things will have to take a back seat for a while." Now, don't know if, like, what that means for KIT, KIT Texas, and all that. Also worth noting, Panda, Jonathan Odetone, immediately responded with, same. And that's a whole another issue with people going back to school and all this other bullshit. We're not even going to talk about that here because that's fucking awful. But that presents a new thing for us to look out for, right? So what does the world look like if everyone's having to homeschool, like all of our favorite TOs are having to homeschool their kids because our government refuses to do anything about anything?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult because on top of being TOs, a lot of these people are parents. A lot of these people have family members that they got to take care of in one form or another. Mm-hmm. So on top of the stress and the issues of trying to run an event in these uncertain times, because that's the phrase we got to go with, they also have to try and be a parent who's doing the homeschool thing, trying to work from home at their main job. You know, trying to do all of these things to keep everything together. And, you know, it's just one of the many reasons why I worry about how many of these events, even if they survive financially, are going to be able to come back. Because this is a very trying time for a lot of people in a lot of ways. With KIT, the decision, maybe it wasn't quite as... maybe not as stressful in this case because KIT 2021 had already been canceled. They had already made that decision. But if you're running an event in, you know, October, November, December, you got to start making those decisions now. And, you know, especially I talk about this as someone who lives in the U.S. where things aren't going so well right now. The conversation in other places may be a little different. I mentioned last week, Book tweeted out a packed gathering in Thailand of an offline local, that one of the first ones that they could do. And you saw so many people there because they had basically gotten the virus down to nothing within the country. Most of it was people coming in, returning home, or visiting from other places and getting quarantined right away. We are nowhere near that. So that doesn't look like a possibility for a very long time for us. Yeah, you know, if you've got an event in November, you know, you got to think, okay, maybe we got to make that decision now or in a couple weeks, because if things change rapidly, it's going to be too late to make that call.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys saw Bear, who is like one of the pillars of the Smash community, who works at the esports arena in Vegas, was sharing some of the videos and photo footage of esports arena opening back up and how they're handling it. And, you know, I think they're doing a good job. They're keeping everything as separated as possible. They have temperature checks at the door, all this other stuff. But is it worth even – is it worth the risk to go out and play a video game in the U.S. at this point, especially with how things are here? Right. Thailand, different story, right, because they basically eradicated the fucking thing. Same thing in New Zealand and a couple of other countries where they – did every they put the work up top and now they can enjoy the fruits of their work by going back to normal. So I'm curious to see how I think the situation at Esports Arena in Vegas is going to be a good barometer of how things are going to move on here in the US for us as far as in-person tournament gatherings. But again, the question always comes down to, is it worth the risk? Because this fucking coronavirus shit ain't, you know, ain't something to mess with.
It's not, you know, but there's so many, there's reasons why people are going to go out. You know, for a lot of people, they haven't been out much since February, since March. They're sick of being at home. There's exhaustion. There's, you know, virus fatigue. It's all that they've lived with for the last 6 months. And on top of that, you know, you've got the mindset of some people who say, well, you know what? Now we got to live with it. Because, you know, and again, I speak from the U.S. perspective. You know the old phrase, an ounce of prevention prevents a pound of cure? We really didn't do a good job taking the ounce of prevention. So now we're in the middle of the pound of cure. And people are going in with the mindset that that's the way it's going to be. You know, this is how life is going to be for until we get a vaccine. So, you know what, if I'm already on a bus, if I'm already at a grocery store, if I'm already at a restaurant, you know, even though the chairs are farther apart, if I'm already doing those things, why not play some games? Why not, you know, go to a local? That's the mindset of some people. And, you know, it's, yeah. I understand the frustration. I do.
You know, man, it's hard for me to sympathize with that point of view, right? Granted, I'm on my own, right? I don't have kids. I don't have a family or whatever. So in my selfish perspective, it's very hard for me to sympathize with that simply because I don't think it's so hard to look at the bigger picture of, hey, if you go outside, you're risking death not only for yourself, but those around you, right? But, you know, again, like we're trying to do everything we can, and, you know, a couple people are just going to ruin it for everybody. And that's what makes this whole thing so bizarre. Because, like, I know one of my personal pet peeves, and it's, like, again, going a little deeper into my psyche here, one of the big reasons why I didn't go to the military or do anything as a team sport or anything like that is because I hate having to suffer consequences for other people's fuck-ups, right? And that's exactly what we're all dealing with right now. So it's like, it's hard for me to sympathize with that. And I mean, to an extent, I get it. I get having cabin fever and all this other stuff, but we're all adults. So why not, you know, just buckle the fuck up and do it so we can get out of it sooner? Because right now, everybody going out and doing other stuff is just going to make this last longer. Right? And I mean, I could be completely wrong. But that's the way I'm viewing stuff, and I feel like I'm researched enough to think that that's correct. That my viewpoint is correct. So, and the fact that people are treating this as an opinion, I think, is wrong. So that's all I'll say about that.
John, you look like you were about to say something.
Oh, no. I left my soapbox in the other room, so I'm good.
Yeah, no, and that's the other thing. It's like we're all like-minded, so I'm sure, you know, John, you and Steve agree with me, and if you don't, then please let's have a discussion about it so I can prove to you that you are wrong. And I'm sure most of the people here watching in the chat also agree, so it's really pointless for me to say it, but, you know.
And, you know, we're all adults. We don't have kids, I don't believe. John, you don't have a kid, do you?
Not that I know of, but probably.
chasing cats.
We're not gonna touch that. But you know, it's we have that perspective. We can sit here and say, you know what, we should stay home. Everybody should stay home, and I agree with that. One of my best friends has a 6-year-old on the autism spectrum, and they don't have school. They didn't have school to take them to for a while. They're probably not going to have school to take them to in the fall, if we're being realistic. It's tough to say, well, just stay home with your kid for the next 6 months. That's a lot to put on people. She just has one kid. You know, you've got some that have 3-4 kids that all of a sudden they've gone from regular parenting to parent / full-time teacher / nurse / everything / and also I got to set up my little corner of the room to be my office. So many people have not been prepared for this, and
well, nobody was, right?
No one was prepared, and I feel like overall we've done a poor job of explaining why masks are important. We've done a poor job of explaining, I'm talking at the state level and the federal level. We say what we need to do. We say it's important, but we haven't done a good job of telling people why you need to do this, why specifically wearing a mask that only goes up to here doesn't work. There are just so many things that I just want to scream about, and I try not to because I want to keep myself calm, but it's just so many things across the board that I just want to yell at people at for a very long period of time.
Well, here's the thing, too. When the purpose of a mask or this, like, what happens with this virus turns into a political opinion, we're fucked.
It did.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're fucked. when you have a group who are proud to call themselves anti-vaxxers, this mask shit ain't gonna change anything of what they think. So you can tell them what's gonna happen. People aren't gonna change their minds because it's a fucking opinion. I'm not saying it's a fucking opinion. I'm saying it's being treated as an opinion when it shouldn't be. Right? And it doesn't matter if we're presenting facts. It doesn't matter whatever the reason behind these people, like behind people's heads who are anti-vaxxers and now anti-maskers or whatever the fuck they're calling themselves. It doesn't fucking matter. We're all fucked anyway, right? Because these people are ruining it for all of us. So, but anyway.
And here's the thing. I completely understand people who say, it's an overreach to require masks. I'm fine with people having that debate. I just feel like it should be a debate, a theoretical debate only, because they should be wearing the mask anyway, because that's the smart thing to do. If we want to have those conversations about what the government should do, what the government should be able to do, that's fine. But there is a very clear answer as to what's the smart thing to do. And we should all be doing the smart thing. No.
Well, even if you don't believe it, I'm trying to picture someone that I'm trying to get myself in the shoes or in a certain frame of mind where I would think, amidst what's going on right now, that I shouldn't wear a mask. Because even if I don't think that the virus is a threat, I'm like, dance the dance so the rest of the society doesn't hate you. That's not a hill to die on, and I don't see an angle where it is. Outside of, I just really don't want people to tell me what to do. Like, with where things are right now, why not just wear a stupid mask? Like, it's not hard. It's a very easy thing. So I truly don't understand why there are people that fight that so hard. But I wanted to ask, maybe you guys know, have we had any cases where someone that has had it has gotten it again or any of that kind of
multiple.
Okay, well, that's scary.
Yep. And, you know, somebody said in the chat, Axiomish said in the chat, if wearing masks slows down the spread of the virus and more people are wearing masks than ever before, why is it continuing to accelerate? Because the people that are wearing it aren't going out, and the people that aren't wearing it are getting it. And it's a very big population of people that aren't getting it. And it's, again, some of it is on the people who choose not to believe facts. But the majority of the blame goes to the government. It's people trying to reopen the shit too early for either greedy reasons or ignorant reasons. Like fucking Texas reopened too early. Now we're on the brink of, you know, everything shutting down again. Florida, same fucking thing. Even though the governor is saying they're not going to shut down everything. It's all a matter of like a political opinion instead of facts. And that's what's happening. It's
also made like the call to put the whole coronavirus thing on hold for a couple of weeks and go outside like arm in arm, like across the nation. Like, so, I mean, you're not wrong. Everything that you're saying there is right, but let's not say that it's only just that. Like the whole country was for a while was like, fuck it, it's not a thing, and herd mentality or herd immunity, I guess, is what we're doing. Here we go.
Well,
and
are you talking about fighting? Hold on. Are you talking about the let me ask John one question just for clarification, and then I'm going to let you go, Steve. I'm so sorry. John, are you talking about the BLM protests? Or are you talking about something else? Okay.
Everyone going out and being together.
I'm going to respond to that, but Steve, go ahead.
I was going to say, yes, I did not participate because I'm potentially high risk. So if something were to happen, yeah, it would be a bad result for me. Yes, staying home was important to avoid the spread of coronavirus. From my point of view, not having police officers run into my house and shoot me while I'm sleeping because they went to the wrong address is more important. And apparently I'm in a spot where I have to say, please don't do that. We would like it if you didn't do that as much. You know, the other thing is with that is the numbers we're seeing are showing that the spike is from those protests isn't nearly as high as a lot of people are expecting it to be. Maybe because it's a bunch of people who are younger that were participating and they were more likely to wear masks, or maybe because the majority of protests were outdoors and the virus spreads better indoors. We're not entirely sure. But to compare that to the reopening of Disney World, I feel is a little facetious.
Yeah, no, I'm saying just it's coming from a lot of different angles. But one thing, though, when that was happening, I think even people that weren't directly participating in it, a lot of people saw that and said, oh, okay, well, I guess it's okay, you know, just out of ignorance.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess that's the thing, because it's not being highlighted like it was. And a lot of people are going to need that kind of direction for them to follow. Like, they're just, that became the beacon. So, like, I'm following that right now. And that means it's okay to go out, because obviously people are doing it. So not only would it happen there, but I think it would happen in a lot of other places as onlookers. Not to say that it's having as much effect as people just reopening. Like, how could it? Of course not, because that's just a standard thing that lasts consistently, you know, instead of these single instances. So, yeah, I just didn't want to every rock.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. I can only speak about Texas because that's what I've been following. When the protests were happening, there was a spike in coronavirus cases. But we have to remember there is a 2-week incubation period for coronavirus to finally start showing symptoms and everything. And what was 2 weeks prior to that? Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, Galveston Beach reopened, a bunch of shit reopened. That's basically when everybody just started going outside again. So we started seeing spikes from that, coincidentally, right when all of these protests started happening. Right, so there was this whole narrative of, oh, protests are causing a spike in coronavirus cases, blah 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 blah, from the people who also say coronavirus isn't real. So, yeah, it's hard staying informed in this age where everybody says something, and it's, since it's in the internet, you know, half the people will choose to believe it, the other half will choose not to believe it, and whether it's true or not, you have to do your own fucking research. It's fucking frustrating.
Have you met people that don't believe it exists?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't even seen that on Facebook. I mean, I don't doubt
that
that's
old
true.
Old high school people that I went to high school with were posting about that shit. Granted, I'm no longer friends with them on Facebook because I don't want to see that shit, nor do I care about them. So really, they could die. And
I mean, I've met a flat earther or two, but I have not. That's
yeah, dude. It's a fucking political opinion.
I work with them on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's a political opinion. That's fucking ludicrous. Now, yeah. Anyway, let's move on because we all agree. So there's no point in having this conversation. I mean, yeah, it's good to get that shit off our chest or whatever. But, you know, we're all basically on the same page with all this shit. Let's get back to these cancellations. CEO Taku also announced that it's getting canceled this week. Or this week, this year. Jabali moved it to, was it Labor Day weekend? No. He moved it to September. I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's always been in September.
Oh, okay.
Dreamland in Dreamland March, April. You had CEO in June, and then CEO Taku was the late fall event.
Okay. So CEO Taku is getting canceled this year and getting pushed back to 2021. And I think I remember Jabali saying something along the lines of, if this is still an issue 460 days from now, God help us all. And boy, do I agree. Yeah, so those are the big event cancellations from this past week. Something else, not necessarily a cancellation, but something else that happened. Speaking of Panda Global, we were talking about Panda Global earlier. Speed Kicks from Panda Global has decided to say he is retired. And I say he decided to say he's retired because I have a theory with a friend of mine that if anybody announces they're retiring, they'll be back. So we'll see what happens.
That's the FGC retirement theorem that I came up with a long time ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so you've said it as well.
Which states that when a person announces their retirement within the FGC, the likelihood of them staying retired is inversely proportional to the amount of attention they give their retirement announcement. If someone just stops going to the local, that's like 95% certain they're gone. If you're someone who like posts a 15-minute thank you video on YouTube and tweets about it for, you know, yeah, you put it on your local Facebook page. You'll be back next month, guaranteed.
Yeah, but I have the tweet here, and he says, alongside the announcement that he was leaving Panda Global, he said, SpeedKick says, a couple of things. First, I finally get to say that I'm retired, exclamation point. But unfortunately, stepping away from competitive Tekken and content creation means stepping away from PG2. It was a great time working with these awesome dudes, and I'm excited to see what they do in the future as a fan. So I know SpeedKix has not been having a good time with Tekken 7. He's been getting very frustrated with everything. So I think stepping away from something that is causing a lot of frustration and a lot of mental anguish is a good choice. So Godspeed to SpeedKix. We'll see him when he comes out of retirement in a couple years. And yeah. And Panda Global also announced a couple other players they're dropping. Let me just pull this up so I can say it. Zero Fine and Super Boom Fan were the other two people that were they were saying farewell to.
I believe Space Cat left the team as well this week.
Oh, I did not see that one. But either way, some team movement also happening. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was expecting a lot more people leaving teams with this whole thing, since we don't no longer have any offline tournaments or anything, but I've seen a lot less than I thought I would see, which is a good thing, I believe.
I think part of that has to do with, you know, without events, you're not spending a lot of money on sending them out to events. You're not spending a lot of money on a lot of other things. So costs are relatively low right now compared to a regular tournament season.
Also, unrelated, but still important, since we were having this discussion, this is from the Associated Press from 2 hours ago. Breaking news, the first vaccine tested in the U.S. for coronavirus boosted volunteers' immune system, as hoped, researchers report. Final study starts this month.
it's still going to be, even if everything goes well, it's still going to take a while
for it
to get approved. And then even once it's approved and available, it's going to take a long time to get 300 million people in this country vaccinated.
And then only a subsect of the population is going to be able to afford a vaccine that's going to cost $10,000 per shot because our health system sucks. Anyway, just wanted to point that out that I saw that on Twitter.
So this is great news. But we're still a long way to go before we approach anything about anything close to normal in terms of being able to go to events.
Yep. Okay. Let's move on. So we talked about all the cancellations and stuff. Let's talk about happy shit, right? So with the sad news that we received last week, it feels like yesterday, or does it feel, I don't know, whatever. My time doesn't exist. With the sad news of EVO getting canceled, some happy news have come out of it. A couple of the games that were slated to have open bracket tournaments are holding their own community tournaments. We don't have a lot of information on those right now, but what we do know is that first, Killer Instinct, Rotendo, also known as USMC Rotendo, was the person who was going to be the main TO for the Killer Instinct tournament for EVO. He announced KI United, which is on August 15th, 2020, is open to everyone. Prizes and details will be coming soon. And he also showed a Discord where people are having a grand old time discussing stuff there. So we're getting a KI tournament from the KI community by the KI community, and it's everybody's going to do it. It's going to be great. The other game that I saw is Dem's Fightin' Herds. Main 6 came out with a forum post. Here it is. On Thursday, we made a statement announcing our decision to pull Dem's Fightin' Herds out of EVO 2020 in response to serious allegations of blah, 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 blah. Since then, they announced that the removal of whatever. As Dem's Fightin' Herds was built as part of the community, that's why we're hosting an event of our own. We're going to make it the largest online TFH, Dem's Fightin' Herds, tournament to date. And to help us pull it off, we've assembled a team of top community organizers who are already laying the groundwork for it. Another announcement is coming with more info, including when this event will be, how to sign up, which regions will be able to sign up, and, you know, what the event will be called. Please take care of yourselves. We'll share more soon. Love, Main 6. So, all of these community events are now getting a lot more traction than they would otherwise, I believe. And I can't wait to... Like, I was super excited to see Dem's Fightin' Herds, because while the subject matter I can't get past for me to play it, I'm curious to see what the game looks like in the hands of people who know what they're doing. So, I'm looking forward to seeing this. Looking forward to KI United, because high-level Killer Instinct is never bad. It's always good. And, yeah. I tried to look for some Mortal Kombat stuff and for Skullgirls, but I did not find anything when I was looking that might have changed. And thank you, Efren, for the big 25 months. Big thanks. And also, I don't know if we ever thanked Piuzera, I'm sorry, we missed you. Thank you for the 33 months. Piuzera has been subscribed longer than Efren has been subscribed, and he was the host of this show. Anyway.
Talking about online tournaments, Animevo opened up their registration for their slate of 27 games. They did so on Friday. They announced that I'll throw the link in the chat once I have it. There we go. Mm-hmm. So that's, if you wanted to participate in that, those games will start taking place in August. They also said in regards to the Animevo name, they said, quote, we want to address that we will continue to use the Animevo moniker for this year's tournament since it's way too late to change our name / graphics before hosting our tourneys. We will begin planning our rebranding process after we conclude all tournaments for this year. End quote.
Cool. That's great. You know what else is great? That mean scene. 3 months. But big thanks. Wow, everybody's showing the love today. Thank you so much, everybody. Super appreciate your support. We're trying to get this show looking better and doing great things. So your support, super duper appreciated. And thank you. Oh, wow. That mean scene with the big old 5 community gift subs. Big thanks.
25 others in chat. That means
25 emotes. 25 ghost. Emotes shared. John, will you please read?
that man. Means seeing gift shared rewards. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so 25 people get some emotes. Big thank you, That Mean Scene. Again, I was literally... You know what I said before you did that? Just copy and paste that into right now. Super appreciate the support. Okay. Do we want to... So, Animevo, they... How many games are they running? Did you say 27?
27.
Okay, so that's going to go on for a while, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I'm going to... let me get the full list. It starts on August 7th with Garo, Breaker's Revenge, and Umineko. Then you've also got that same weekend Fexel and JoJo's. Let me see if I've got the full list here.
Damn, Fexel is such a good game. I need to get back into Fexel.
Fexel, Mahjong Soul, Dengeki Bunko.
Mahjong, that's right. That's right. I told DJ Cream I was going to beat him up in Mahjong Soul. I still need to go learn that game. I'm probably going to get my ass kicked if that ever happens. Okay, and when is the first weekend, did you say?
The first weekend, August 7th and 8th.
August 7th and 8th, excuse me. August 8th and 9th. Man, August is going to be a hell of a time for online tournaments. Since Evo broke apart, and I cannot wait. It's going to be a good time.
And thank you for Tiny Text for reminding me. Fexel is also in the process of testing rollback netcode in their game. So, shout-outs to Rika for continuing.
Hell yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna translate, because you cut out again. I think you said shout-out to Rika for continuing to support rollback. It's just an internet thing. We're getting there, Steve. We'll get it fixed up.
I think it's my end, which is frustrating, because I'm hardline, so...
Okay, we'll figure it out. It's okay. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. But yeah, so Fexel is getting rollback. You know what's another thing I saw on Twitter? I have this on the doc. We have 20 minutes, so I think we can bring this up real quick. I saw a tweet by Harada, and it said... It was in response to a tweet from Rip, from July 5th, saying Tekken 7 Evo announcements delayed. Speaking of which, that's a whole other thing I want to bring up in a little bit that I didn't put on the doc. Tekken 7 Evo announcements delayed and rollback netcode buffs incoming. And then Rip made a video where he shows that even as far back as Tekken Tag 2, there is some rollback in Tekken, right? Which is crazy because, you know, we're always talking about how it's delay-based, and it does feel like it's delay-based. I didn't know about it. And this is another one of those things where Harada, in the past, along with Michael Murray, have fixed delay input issues and never told anybody, and nobody noticed. Right? Or nobody talked about it, if they noticed it. So, this is another one of those things where Harada then replied saying, hey, this video is good at showing stuff in slow motion. As the community has noticed, Rollback has been working on Tekken 7 for a long time, but smooth animation of 3D fighting games is easily affected. Animation method is different between 2D and 3D. So, are we looking at better netcode for Tekken 2 coming out? And that's another thing that I wanted to bring up. And I'm going to bring this up tangentially with the rollback thing for Tekken. I'm assuming there were going to be a ton of announcements, right? Because, you know, Bandai Namco has stated that they were going to announce something, and now that Evo's gone, they're looking for ways to announce it, which I don't know why they just don't put it out. So, now what? There's all these, like... unannounced things that were going to happen that are now not being announced.
I think people should just start holding streams, because it feels like it used to be, when the internet wasn't what it was, that you would do this kind of a thing at a place like E3, and a lot of the events that spawned because of E3 booming into what it was, you know, then we had the PlayStation Experience, which the Street Fighter crowd has been hanging out at for the last couple of years too, right? So that's sort of been the way things are done, and you'll hold for these bigger presentations, of course, for the fighting game community, Evo would be one of those as well, where you release, you know, your biggest content a lot of times. But the stage has evolved, you know, and with social media and live streaming being what they are, I think the gloves are really off, and the opportunities are 100% there now for each one of these individual developers to let people know that something is coming, get them excited, give them a hint, give them, you know, however you want to do it, but hype them up. This should all be part of the marketing process, because DLC has become such a big part of these games. You want to
drop little like hints and breadcrumbs and whatnot and say, tune in at this time, similar to what we do with the Combat Cast. That's a great example. I think that most of these other developers need to jump on that similar train, get on their own schedule, not necessarily wait for a big show. Those are going away. You know, people aren't doing E3 very much anymore. PlayStation's just kind of doing its own live stream. Nintendo does its own directs now, and that's been a very successful endeavor for them. So I think that they can do it on a smaller scale and just let people know when and where to tune in, and they will. And the hype will be there, and the communication will happen and just float around social media like it does now. So I would like to see, we figure there's a lot of big reveals that are now just kind of out there in the ether, and they're kind of deciding how they want to go about showing them. Play with it. Do whatever you want with it. You know, this is a special time. You can take, maybe if you're not exactly on board or you're kind of testing the waters, now's a good time to test the waters. And I think that we'll get a lot of attention on these games. You need to do it that way. At least try it, and it'll work.
It's worth pointing out that Bandai Namco is holding an online week of news within their games called Bandai Namco Entertainment Fun Live. It's going to start on Friday. However, there is a schedule that's been floating around based on one of the Chinese websites for the event. And according to that website, there is no listing for either Tekken 7 or DBFZ or Soul Calibur 6 on the list. But they do mention the new Mobile Suit Gundam game. So
sick. You know, that's another thing too, is Okubo, the director for Soul Calibur 6, also said that he has shit to announce, but he's asking people to hold on. So if they do it there, and granted, everybody is now showing me the links. Thank you, everybody. And it's on Event Hub. So, John, you should have told me it was there. Speaking of telling people things... I'm sorry. Thank you, Streaming on the Corner, for resubscribing. Big thank you, Streaming on the Corner. 11 months. Man, much appreciate the support today, you guys. You guys are great. Yeah, man, there's a lot of shit happening this Friday. Because this Friday, Ghost of Tsushima comes out. I guess this starts. There's other shit happening. I'm pretty sure like a bunch of Netflix shows are coming out on Friday. Is there anything else happening on Friday? Hey, Google, is there anything else happening on Friday? I didn't hear me. All right. Man. This Friday is going to be crazy. And I had no idea about this, about the Fun Live stuff. So maybe they're going to have some stuff there. Maybe they won't. Who knows?
That one's more, it appears more aimed toward the Asian audience. Mm-hmm. There is an event coming up on the 22nd that's being run by Bandai Namco US.
What's the event?
It's, I believe, Bandai Namco. Let me pull up the. Sorry. Here, keep talking. Okay. I'll try and find it.
While Steve's looking for that, something else
there
that
is.
Was.
There it is. Play Anime Live.
Play Anime Live. Oh, okay. Well, it's Play Anime, that, right? So are they just going to talk about Dragon Ball Z and all their other anime IPs? Like Naruto and one
Jump Force,
one chip,
Sword Art Online,
One Piece.
But that is actually going to be on the 22nd, so next Wednesday.
Okay. So. Well, safe to say that we're hoping to hear something between those two events somewhere. If not, then we'll just have to hold out for more. What's his name? Fakun Ram is still really fun to play. Another very small piece of news that I'm sure in the great grand scheme of things doesn't really matter much, but still something worth noting anyway, is that Sony bought a minority stake at Epic for $250 million. What does that mean? Who knows? $250 million is nothing for a multi-billion dollar company, so it's a very minority. And a lot of people were speculating, oh, it's going to be exclusive, everything, blah, 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 blah. Probably not. But still, cool to see hardware companies investing on the people who are making software for their hardware. Especially since, you know, we saw the Unreal Engine 5 reveal that works on the PlayStation 5 and all the crazy shit that that's been doing.
Not only is it just a minority stake, but if you'll remember, Microsoft bought Mojang, the company that creates and owns Minecraft,
mm-hmm.
and you're still seeing Minecraft on PS4s
yeah.
and probably on PS5 because everybody's got to have Minecraft for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's dumb to not sell people Minecraft, right? Because you're just shooting yourself in the foot at that point because it's such a popular game. But it's not quite popular enough to get people to buy their console, I don't think, right? Like, I wouldn't... Like, I have Minecraft on computer, and I played it for a little while. It was fun. But, like, I wouldn't buy an Xbox for Minecraft. Much like how I didn't buy... Much like how I didn't buy an Xbox for Killer Instinct, and I'm very happy it came to PC, right?
I can tell you, my niece has... you know, my brother's got a Xbox One, and one of the last times I was over there, she was playing nothing but the Minecraft game for not like actual Minecraft, but one of those Minecraft adventure games where it's like, I don't know.
Minecraft Dungeons, Steve, yeah. get with it.
No, it's like Minecraft. It's like almost choose your own adventure.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, it sounds like...
Yeah.
It sounds like the Telltale
it's
game
like
they made.
The Telltale. Yes, yeah, yeah. The Telltale game. So,
ooh, we read that.
There are people out there. We got there eventually.
Yeah. All right. We have 10 minutes. So I wanted to share this, and this is the surprise. It's not really a surprise. I probably overhyped it. But either way, I wanted us to watch this together because I think we all need a little bit of happiness in our lives. So let's enjoy this.
Hawaiian Shirt Man is the best.
The UN too is so good.
He needs to be a representative for the FGC. Like, he needs to be one of our big streamers, and I'm excited that he's going strong, man. That's actually a story going up tomorrow morning on Event Hubs. There's the little early morning starter. Just like, check this out from Hawaiian Shirt Man.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, that is someone that goes by the name of Hawaiian Shirt Man. Please go follow him on Twitch. He has this amazing energy. We've talked about him on the show. He's visited us before. But anyway, I asked him if I could play that clip on our show, and he said yes. And I also asked him just to get like a little bit of insight into like how he has that much energy. I asked him, like, what's the source of your amazing energy? Is it the game? Is it the FGC? Is it something completely unrelated? And he said, I don't have a source of energy. I just do things. I love feeling good and listening to good music. That's it. Party on, bro. And he wrote in all caps. And he wrote in all caps with like a billion exclamation points. I fucking love that guy. I don't even know him and I love him. And I don't use that word lightly. But anyway. Fucking Hawaiian Shirt Man. Please go watch him. He's been, without a doubt, like, he's been putting a smile on my face every time I watch his stream, man. It's fucking amazing. So everybody go check him out.
I met him at Capcom Cup. He was there. We got to play. It was, and he didn't say anything, but he was just sitting there with just this energy just coming out of him, man. He's a cool guy.
Didn't he get like either top 16 or real close to top 16 at the LCQ? I remember him going pretty deep.
He's got I don't know how much of it is like him, like, being his character, you know? But, like, when he plays in the game, for those that haven't watched, he 100% knows what he's doing, you know? He plays a very mean Zeku, and in a very specific style in the way that he approaches the game. But at any point, if he is in neutral, instead of... I mean, it's not to say he doesn't play footsies, but if there's any downtime, and I mean, like, 15 frames of downtime... He's just spamming stance change. So his Zeku is just... Psh, 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 psh. He's never not moving. And it's wildly entertaining to watch, but to fight against. You're constantly feeling like, I have an opportunity that you don't actually have. Sometimes he'll get a little overzealous and do it too much and get punished. But most of the time, he knows what he's just setting up. And people jump in on him all the time, or it makes you want to go in. He plays some pretty cool mind games. So very, very interesting, great character, very entertaining stream. Very highly recommend. Go check him out.
Also, he did, I overestimated his performance a little bit. He finished just outside top 64 at LCQ, but still went 3-2.
It's fucking LCQ making top 64, yeah.
The next day, the people were like, yo, you haven't heard about Hawaiian Shirt Man? And he, even that made something of a splash so that people were discussing it at the venue.
Yeah. So everybody, please go check out Hawaiian Shirt Man. He is the bright spot in the FGC that needs to shine brighter. So please go say hi and tell him we sent you.
Blasty.
Yeah, and he also recently had surgery too. So let's hope that we can keep his spirits up so that he can then keep our spirits up, and we're all just keeping each other's spirits up. We're all bringing ourselves up, so we're all having a great fun time.
But then wouldn't our spirits be, like, too big to fail eventually?
I don't get the reference. I'm sorry.
You know what? It's probably...
Alon wasn't around in 08. That was before his time.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, I
don't
wasn't
worry
born.
About it.
Yeah, just, I wasn't born
aren't
until
2010. Aren't we the same age?
Well, John said I wasn't around 40, in 08. Right? John said I wasn't around in 08, so I just wanted to say I wasn't born until 2009.
It makes the beard all the more impressive.
Yeah, let me tell you.
11-year-old Elon.
All right. Okay, well, I think we've reached the end of our topics, and I'm happy we got to end with Hawaiian Shirt Man. As soon as I saw that clip on Twitter, I knew I wanted to play it on the show, so I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. I kind of want to watch. Can we watch it again? We have some time. All right, let's watch it one more time.
Party, bros.
So good.
I have.
The party never ends.
I want to know what this song is so I can listen to it.
She's I'll figure it out eventually.
The song is just what happened to be playing at the time.
Dude, it is the perfect clip. Well, so go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
I have not the words.
Really? Ultra David like summed it up, I think, really well. It's like, I love that Ultra David says, I love that he has a separate green screen on a different part of the wall that he can dance in front of.
See, I really wanted to have, like, the way my new room is set up, it doesn't make this possible, but I wanted to have, like, a wall I could hang, like, a green cloth from, so I could start doing weatherman shit on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get into standings, I could be like, okay, here's your top 10 right here. Here's the cutoff line. If you're below this cutoff line, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
if we'll you're get below that, then. Here... We've got some technology coming. Hopefully, I've got a graphics card here tomorrow that will mean I can do some things. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm also just completely unrelated. I'm planning on getting a green screen kit too. So we're all going to be in green screens. We're all going to be in the same place via the green screens in the near future.
Did Blue find the song?
Yeah, it's really? Modern I talking. Think... You're my heart, my soul.
Hell yeah, Blue.
158 million views.
Hell yeah, Blue. Modern Talking. I've never heard of them. I'm going to listen to them for the next month now. Hell yeah. Thank you, Blue. The researcher. Man, that was quick. He probably Shazammed the shit out of that. All right. Well, anyway, anything else we want to say before we send everybody over to Ultra Chen?
I got nothing.
No? Okay.
Thank you for coming along the journey with us. We really appreciate you and hope you continue to ride with us.
Ultra Chen's not ready, so let's vamp for a little bit.
Okay, let's vamp. We did have a question of the day.
Oh, shit, yeah. Thank God. I have it set up, actually, too. Here, let me... So I haven't found a good place for this yet, but... Oh shit, I didn't add the one I thought I had on here. Here we go. Okay. Okay, here we are. I haven't found a good place for this yet on this new overlay, so I just put it right in the middle. So it looks a little bit shitty now, but we'll get it better later. Here's our question of the day.
Once they return, in what ways do you think offline events will be different? And in what ways do you want them to be different? That kind of ties into the discussions we were having earlier about how it may be a while before we start seeing events. So we asked, you know, how are they going to change? What do we want to see?
Okay, here is our first answer.
And we start with Hikusai, who said, no more handshakes, elbow bumps instead. That was great for that 1 week of the Bundesliga where they were all serious about social distancing, and then they're like, yeah, forget it. We're all playing anyway.
Here's the next one.
Coach Ruin says, I think people should wear masks in general, COVID or not. You know, in some places, that's just part of what you do. If you feel like you're sick or you might be sick, you put on a mask and you just do it. So man, maybe Blue, that will be the takeaway.
Blue brings up a great point. The return of the thumbs up.
Oh my God.
The return of the thumbs up.
I thought that was dead. I thought we killed and buried that thing.
I want
now
it back.
I'm going to have to look up the 2 minute.
Well, you can't shake hands. Might as well just give somebody a thumbs up, you know? I want it back.
I think everyone's going to do the bow thing.
I'm going to thumbs up everybody. You know what? I don't care what happens. Even if we can shake hands, I'm going to start thumbs up.
Parade along.
Yeah, John is just ruining my dream. Anyway. But what I'm going to do is even if we can shake hands, I'm just going to give people a thumbs up. Anyway, here's our next.
And don't do it until, like, after they extend the hand. And just, like, you know, they do this and you go on.
Here's our next answer.
Saximus 5 Aximus says, mask cool and I'm going to keep wearing them. Cool. Bada bang. Yofachu says, more hand sanitizer. Perfect. Ward the Dinosaur says, I want people to be goddamn thankful for what we have. I don't mean that you shouldn't criticize TOs and events, but man, have a little respect for when you do. Give creative or constructive criticism, never toxic. Because this scene is sad without offline events, and that's really showing.
He's right. Also, I think we should give creative criticism, too.
Yeah. Subway Wang says, probably a strict enforced rule for parent guardian for kids under 18 participating. Also possibly having an assigned staff member to watch out for possible suspicious or harassment behavior from anyone at the event. We actually talked about that last week as a possibility.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Richard Wen says, I really hope we start getting rid of the silly boys club mentality. It's unhealthy and unwelcoming. It'll take the majority, however, to be the change and spread the new mindset.
All right, and we had one more, but I don't want to put it up. So I'm kidding. Okay. I'll put it up.
Efren says, we can all agree that Street Fighter 4 Ultra should come back. What's the name of that game, Efren? Street Fighter 4 Ultra? Really?
Street Fighter 4 Ultra.
Bring it back.
Oh, man. I want to bring attention to Paco Stevens in the chat. USB hub rental fees at events to plug a second ghetto converter into sticks into PS5s.
The one change I think we're going to see outside of this is I think we're going to see the end of the loner stick.
Yeah, that is true. Damn, that is true. Yeah.
It's one of those little things that you don't really think of until you have to think about it.
All right. Well, hold on. So Trevor said he missed the surprise. So what we're going to do is we're going to let the surprise sign us off. I don't want to ruin it for Trevor. But this has been best of five. I've been Elon. You There it is. This has been Steve, Main Squeeze, Ace King, Offsuit, Jerick. There we go. Got it. And underneath here has been John Velociraptor Guerrero, no longer chasing cats. Big thank you to everybody joining us. Big thank you for the support today. Seriously, we're going to get the show bigger and better every week, so super appreciate you guys coming back every week and enjoying what we can enjoy together. So to play us out, what does that mean? We'll do it live. Anyway, here's Hawaiian Shirt Man.
Good night, Canada.
Love you, miss. Bye. I want to be Hawaiian Shirt Man, man.
Oh, well, I fucked that up, didn't I? All right, hold on. Well, there we go. Goodbye.